sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Siblings in Christ, peace be with you. In the name of the risen Savior, amen. From our gospel text today, from John chapter 20, verse 23, we read, "If you forgive the sins of any," Jesus says, "they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." That's the NRSV translation that we read. I have highlighted this verse in previous years when we've come up on this passage, and I think it's worth examining again. Every time I read this, I forget what I'm about to say. I forget this scholarship and think it's a really curious line right in the middle of this so-called Doubting Thomas story. And I think this scholarship actually sheds light on this whole story that we have before us today. It was 13 years ago now, Sister Sandra Marie Schneiders, biblical professor at the Jesuit School of Theology, the Graduate Theological Union. It's in the Bay Area, a consortium of seminaries. Anyway, she presents a fascinating paper to a group of scholars on this verse 23. The basic idea was that we have inserted and assumed a word in our English translating of this verse 23 that changes everything. Schneiders points out that in the Greek, there is no word sins in the second half of that verse. So an alternative translation, a more accurate translation would be, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. It's the first half. And if you retain any, they are retained. A quick look at the Greek shows you that she is absolutely right. It's easy to see right under our noses. It's about retaining people, not sins. And she opens up that Greek word for retained a little more. It could also mean hold fast to any or even embrace any. She concludes that the second half of verse 23 is about retaining, holding on to, embracing people, not sins. This, she argues, along with Lutheran scholar, the Reverend Dr. Mary Hinkle Shore, that there is not only room for Thomas's need for proof. I wouldn't call it doubting as much as needing some proof. Needing some proof, Thomas. There's not only room for that, it's also this idea of retaining, holding on to people, not sins, is far more in line with Jesus' words and actions and the overarching theology of the entire Gospel of John. Retaining sins, holding one's sins over their head, doesn't really fit with John's themes at all, if you think about it, especially with all the peace breathing that's happening both before and certainly after the resurrection, like here today. Cool, right? I think so. I think it's fascinating. Because this has been used by particularly the clergy. They've enjoyed power over the centuries with like retaining sins. But it just takes someone to stand up and say, wait a second, this doesn't fit. Also, they just looked at the Greek. It's right there. This text in John's version is John's version of the Great Commission. You know, in Matthew, the Great Commission, go ye therefore baptizing. But here in John, it's this right here today. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you, commissioning you. And then he breathes on them, receive the Holy Spirit. It's actually, this is John's Pentecost also. And here's what the Holy Spirit is about. The Holy Spirit that you receive from Christ's very breath is about forgiving sins. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. And also, it's about holding and embracing others. Whoever you hold, they're held. Whoever you embrace, they're embraced. Whoever you love, they are loved. That's Holy Spirit power. That's power that's greater than Pilate and all the Roman Empire. That's power that's mightier than all the muscles and ammunition that we can even imagine. That power to forgive sins and hold others, hold everyone. That power to do that is yours this day, friends. Jesus breathes this on his disciples, and Jesus breathes this peace on us too. The second Sunday of Easter in the year 2023, Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Alleluia. Yeah, this is way more in line with John's gospel than retaining sins. Think about Jesus' actions and words echoing back through the book of John. On Good Friday, Jesus offered community to his disciples, his beloved disciple, and his own mother from the cross. Christ's sermon from the cross was to go and care for one another from this day forth, is what he says to his mother and the beloved disciple. To offer that same beloved community that Christ has shared to one another, to everyone. Love flowing outward from the cross. And then the foot washing on Maundy Thursday. Jesus offers this intimate cleansing and tangible forgiveness to each of us. And now we are called to turn and offer that same cleansing and forgiveness to each other and beyond. First, we receive it from God. That's our being commissioned. Receive the Holy Spirit, and then we turn and go and share that peace with the whole world. And it's not just, you know, the stories from the High Holy Days. It's all through John, the raising of Lazarus, the woman at the well, the blind man, the feeding of the 5,000, all the way back to the beginning of John's gospel, where the light shines in the darkness and gives life to all people. Everyone is held. Everyone is embraced. Everyone is forgiven. And so now, by Jesus' resurrection morning breath, that is, by the Holy Spirit's power, now whoever you hold, whoever you embrace, whoever you forgive, they are. Post-resurrection, this 50-day Easter, basking in the peace of our risen Savior, Christ is risen indeed. This is the indeed. This is the turning and offering. This is the action. In action, this is the turning and offering, both forgiveness and embrace. Peace be with you. As I've been sent, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. And whoever you hold, they're held. Whoever you embrace, they're embraced. First of all, that means you're held. You're embraced, you're forgiven. We could just stop the sermon right there, actually. That's the gospel. You're held, you're forgiven, you're embraced. Ponder that this Easter season. How can that change everything? Because it does. All the things you've done, all the things you've said, Jesus holds you, embraces you, forgives you anyway. Bask in that these 50 days of resurrection celebration. Jesus pulls us up from the grave with him, remember? But that's never the end of the story. That's just for you. God overwhelms us with love and welcome and forgiveness and grace. And then, of course, tells us to go and do likewise. Go and do the same. So who is it that you're being called on to offer forgiveness at this time? In this place, at this time in your life, not just have you forgiven somebody once before, and that's the example you draw from, and so I've done that, check. Now what's going on in these days where God's love and grace might flow through you and be extended to someone else? That's where the rubber hits the road, I think. I mean, honestly, I'd prefer to hang on to the old translation and hang on to the sins people have committed against me and against others. But this is Holy Spirit power. We had an Easter dance last night. First time ever, at least at my time here, that we've had a dance in the dance hall. I want to call the fellowship hall now the dance hall. And we played lots of music from across the decades. We played Michael Jackson last night. And Michael Jackson, that has been a tough one for me. Watched the documentary, read articles and things about the offenses, the crimes that he committed, and I stopped listening to his music some years back. I mean, I very kind of staunchly cut him off. Dead to me, I've said. I've said that. He's dead to me. The thing is I love his music. And before we knew all these horrible things that he had done, I loved him. I loved the work that he did and the money that he raised for all kinds of charities, the hope that he brought people around the world, the entertainment and the joy that he gave us with his music and his dancing. Incredible dancing. So I've struggled with this, and I was in a conversation with Sister Ramona. You know, sometimes I'll take her home from church here and after worship, and somehow Michael Jackson came up, and I was curious, you know, we were both talking about, we love Michael Jackson, but maybe he came on the radio. That's maybe that simple. But I asked her, how are you dealing with that? And Sister Ramona, she just said, well, for me, Michael's family. I love him like he's my own son. I don't condone it, but I love him. When your son does something, you don't condone it, but you still love him. So the question is almost silly. He's family. I'm so thankful for that perspective. I mean, it's helped me because I was done with him. I even went out, when we were in Italy, the kids were so embarrassed. There was a Michael Jackson street performer. And when he finished his performance, I was like, I'm going to go ask him how he could possibly do this. And I did. I went after this poor performer that was like just trying to do his thing. And he was amazing. I mean, I was starstruck almost by how much he looked like. He had all the makeup and all the, you know, outfit, and his dancing was incredible. I mean, I've struggled with this. It's one example of cancel culture that we see. It's got us being done with so many people. It's got us retaining the sins of so many people. And it's not that important issues aren't being raised in cancel culture. Don't hear me wrong. In some cases, some issues are being raised for the first time, but to just cancel one another. You know, that language, to cancel another human being. Contrast that with this message today. Whoever we hold, they are held. Whoever we embrace, they are embraced. As always, we'll offer in a little bit that peace of Christ to each other. That's powerful. And it comes from this text today. It isn't just about shaking hands, even though that's exactly what we do. It's not just about that. It's war ending. It's walls coming down. It's conflicts forgiven. It's offenders are family. It's the whole creation is restored and death itself is destroyed. Only Jesus' resurrection can do that, can offer true peace, friends. If you're doubting that's really happening when we share the peace with one another every Sunday, then you're not much different than the faithful Thomas who just wanted to see more. I just need some proof, you know? It's so important to note when we talk about Thomas, what happened back in John chapter 11? It was Thomas who urged the disciples to go on to Bethany despite the danger that was there. Thomas says to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him," Thomas says. Where was Thomas in this text for today? Maybe he was already out there, forgiving sins, embracing any. Maybe he was on the ground. Everybody else is scared and locked behind the closed door. When Jesus first appeared to the disciples and said that, I mean, why wasn't he locked behind doors in fear also? Maybe he just wanted to see more, wanted to do more. Often the most active people are the ones who question the most. There's room for that in Jesus' embrace. It's hard to believe that wars end when Jim, say, and Micah give each other a fun fist bump at the time of the sharing of the peace. Or Marva and Allison give each other a hug here at Bethlehem when we say, "Peace of the Lord be with you always." And I mean, it's sweet and good that we do that, but it's hard to believe. There's no evidence that creation, the air and the water and the soil, is restored as Monique and Ron give each other a friendly high five as they say to each other, "The peace be with you. God's peace be with you." What did Thomas say? "Unless I can see it and touch it, I won't believe that death has been destroyed." There's Thomases among us too, right? Maybe you're one of them. There's room for that, though, in Christ's embrace, friends. It's not for shame. There's room in Christ's embrace for all of it. In fact, we need the questions. That forgiveness is for us all. That holding fast, that embrace, that love through the Holy Spirit finds you and never lets you go. Let us pray. Lord God, when we are assaulted by the troubles of this life and the deep waters of anger threaten to overwhelm us, do not let us sink. In your great compassion, hear us and help us. Deliver us from anger's power over us. Lead us out of bitter silence and hurtful words so that we may speak the truth in love. Heal every heart set on holding on to sins, retaining vengeance, and show us the way to honesty and reconciliation, peace and joy, through the one who has shown us both impassioned zeal and forgiving love, Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.